My guest at this time is Jennifer Popick. She is the Senior Legislative Counsel at the Robert Powell Center for Medical Ethics at the National Right to Life Committee. We've asked her to comment on news coming out of the state of New Mexico this week, where a judge in that state has ruled that residents in the Land of Enchantment have a constitutional right to aid in dying, which is separate from the traditional notion of assisted suicide. Jennifer is here to explain exactly what's going on there and why she is very concerned about it. And Jennifer, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
First of all, bring our listeners up to speed. What exactly happened in New Mexico this week and in this decision by Judge Nan Nash?
What happened in New Mexico was Compassion and Choices found two oncology physicians and a cancer survivor, and they brought a lawsuit seeking to define out of New Mexico law that aid in dying, as they call it, would not qualify as assisting suicide. New Mexico has made it a crime since the late 50s to assist in a suicide. Assisting suicide is a fourth-degree felony in the state of New Mexico. And in this approach that Compassion and Choices has been trying state by state, what they got this judge to do was not to find that there's an inherent right to assisted suicide, but somehow that this aid in dying at the end of life does not fit the definition of what the legislature intended. It's just a one-panel decision, and we're hopeful that the attorney general in New Mexico will appeal it to the state Supreme Court.
What's the difference between aid in dying and assisted suicide, according to them?
Essentially, what everybody's talking about, what this judge talks about, is the provision of a prescription, a lethal prescription, to a terminally ill, competent patient. The problem is, in this ruling, that these things aren't defined in any sort of meaningful way, and there's no guidance given. Now, assisted suicide, I think, is something that everybody sort of understands, and what it is the doctor giving a lethal prescription to somebody in order to end the patient's life. It isn't pain medicine. It isn't any kind of end-of-life care. This isn't, you know, what happens in the other states that have allowed the practice is that a prescription for barbiturates is given and the person overdoses on a lethal prescription. In some sort of smoke and mirrors here, what the Compassion and Choices argued and got this judge to say is that a lethal prescription is somehow just another medical treatment available to you at the end of life. I think the problem is that I think everybody would identify that medical treatment doesn't kill you. So that's, you know, the difference. In places that have legalized the practice, it's a lethal prescription. It's considered assisted suicide. Here, they're just trying a smoke and mirrors trick to define it out of the statute.
And on what grounds do you hope that another court will reverse this?
I think that it's pretty clear that when the legislature in New Mexico, and they've considered this issue several times since, when they make assisting suicide illegal, that this is precisely what they contemplated. They contemplated this sort of situation where a doctor with no real guidelines or anybody is with nobody looking at the situation, nobody seeing if the person's competent, nobody seeing if perhaps this person's suffering from dementia, nobody seeing if it's just somebody pushing, somebody who might be suicidal. You know, the notion is that we do not want people assisting in suicides. And the New Mexico legislature has decided this and considered it on multiple other occasions. There's been bills over the years in New Mexico to try and loosen up this law, and the legislature's considered it, and they said, no, this is longstanding New Mexico policy. It's good for vulnerable citizens. And so we think that they would look to the legislative language and the legislative history. A higher court could, you know, determine that the New Mexico legislature did not intend, just because a person, as this judge said, you know, might be terminally ill or whatever, that this is somehow a carve-out. I think that they could look to long history there.
Let's talk about the carve-out, as you just mentioned it, because in most of the materials that I've read here, terminally ill is a critical factor in the case that was brought, according to the plaintiffs, and also in the judge's rationale. But if there is this inherent right to end your life, regardless of what term you give it, why do they claim that that makes a difference?
I think there's a couple different things going on. I mean, everybody has the right to reject medical treatment, and I don't think anybody's arguing that that is not an inherent right we have. What this judge found was that in contradiction to New Mexico code, that somehow a physician, and she doesn't exactly say why it can only be a physician, but a physician could give a lethal prescription or a dose of something. I guess she doesn't even limit it to a medication. It could be some kind of injection, too, that a physician, because somebody's quote-unquote terminally ill, could have their life ended with assistance. Now, the problem is this definition of terminal illness. I mean, not only is it a difficult medical term to enforce. In legislature after legislature, it's a difficult term to enforce. So people typically think of it as having 6 months left to live or something like that. But nowhere in this decision is any guidance given, nor, you know, I think we all kind of know people who outlive these kind of diagnoses. There's no built-in punishment or penalty should a doctor get it wrong on purpose or an accident, a terminal diagnosis. And more disturbing, I think, is that a terminal condition, typically when defined in state statutes, and New Mexico's like this also, means that anybody who doesn't get treatment that might die within 6 months. And so taken to its logical conclusion, that could be an insulin-dependent diabetic. If there's somebody who does not, you know, take medication, does not seek treatment within 6 months, they could die. So this definition of terminally ill patients is going to incorporate a huge group of people.
We're talking with Jennifer Popick. She's senior legislative counsel at the Robert Powell Center for Medical Ethics at the National Right to Life Committee. And Jennifer, let's talk about the ethics of it and present their case to you and have you respond on an ethical basis. And that is that obviously this is their life. They feel like it's not worth living anymore. Who is you or anybody else to tell them that they shouldn't? That would be their argument, I guess.
Yeah, certainly. You know, it's one of these things that we don't solve problems by killing the patient to whom the problem exists for. Now, it's often couched as an argument of autonomy. This is a person's, you know, freely chosen right to exercise something. But we have so much evidence out there that people that are seeking suicide typically suffer from some sort of diagnosable depression or other mental illness. These are people who are facing a tough diagnosis. They're very understandably probably suffering from some kind of depression related to it. What, we don't help this group of people just because they're sick? Now, I think anybody would look at an 18 or a 22-year-old who had just been through a breakup or a young mother who might be, you know, postpartum depression. Now, well, they might be saying, you know, I want to kill myself. That's not what we would recognize as a freely chosen decision. At National Right to Life, we think it's a problem that just because somebody is sick or has a low quality of life as the rest of us would perceive it, we don't look at that person and see that ask for suicide as a cry for help that it might be.
Just a couple of questions before we let you go, Jennifer. We've seen this euthanasia debate take off in Europe, Belgium especially. I think there's a couple other countries that have certainly encouraged this. As far as the U.S. is concerned, is this kind of an isolated incident and outside of those other states that have addressed it, or do you sense a movement of some sort towards this across the country?
You know, at this point, it's a little difficult to say. Compassionate Choices certainly promotes this kind of legislation in the states. Washington, Oregon, and Vermont have all legalized the practice affirmatively. Vermont quite recently in 2012. There's a court case in Montana that says there's no public policy against it in the state, and now we have this court case, which we hope will be reviewed by a higher court. We've seen hundreds of these legislative attempts over time, and, you know, currently it's limited to the 5 states. So in terms of a broader movement, I think that this court case in New Mexico is indicative of a new approach where they just try to define out aid in dying as not being somehow assisted suicide. So it's something we keep our eye on, and we definitely have been active in a lot of states, especially on the East Coast. So this is something that we've got our eye on.
Well, Jennifer, we greatly appreciate you taking the time to explain it better to us, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Jennifer Popick is Senior Legislative Counsel at the Robert Powell Center for Medical Ethics at the National Right to Life Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.